Welcome to Market Proof Marketing, the podcast from the industry leaders at Do You Convert, where we talk about the current and future state of marketing and online sales for builders and developers across the globe. We're not here to sell you, we're here to help you and to try and elevate the conversation. Is there a topic you'd like us to cover or a question you'd like us to answer? We'll do it. Simply send an email to show@doyouconvert.com. All right. And we've got a returning guest, the one and only Jason Hardy, co-founder and CEO at Only, who that's what we talked about pretty much the entire time. He was on with us last, but also the chairman of Chatterson, which is a real estate specific marketing, performance marketing organization out of Canada. And I mean, we don't have to go right into the bragging part, but you've worked with a couple of $1 billion organizations in Canada.
Yeah.
I was looking at your history there. So Jason knows what's up, and he has a long history of real estate and technology. And so we are going to talk about Only and updates on that platform. But I thought, Jason, the most interesting way to start in, given that the Builder Show just wrapped up not too long ago, we did our wrap-up episode. But what were the things that you heard, like, topically that kept coming up over and over again, or things that you just in side conversations found kept occurring at this
show? IBS was amazing. I mean, I think it was the biggest year that IBS has seen, like, in its history. What was the number, Kevin? 117,000? Was that it?
Yeah. And I think they added a fifth kind of additional show. You know, there's KBiz and IBS and several shows in one. I feel like they added another one this year. And someone whispered that brought us closer to 200,000 in total. But that, I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, it was remarkable. I mean, it flew by. But you know what? The show this year was great. It was the best show that I have attended in years. AI in the customer experience and sales process and selection process on new construction, both on single and multifamily, was super interesting to me. There was a lot of great discussions on the CX experience that I really enjoyed. Alan Klassen from Brookfield I wish they gave him a little bit more stage time.
He's fantastic. I presented on a panel with him at the Builder 100 2 years ago, I think, with Linda Mamet.
I remember that.
He's one of the best. Even just conceptually, like, he doesn't often get into the super specifics, but if you've never heard someone at his level talk conceptually about what they're trying to do, it's really great.
Yeah, pretty incredible. So yeah, I think, you know, between CX, which really should be, you know, top discussions right now for every major home builder group, big and small. And then AI, there were some really interesting insights and technologies and talking about AI chatbots and selection tools. Some really, really interesting conversations around that. I think those were my two, you know, big takeaways.
Yeah. And if you just go in a little bit more on the CX side in particular, maybe we'll touch the AI side too, but why is it that you think builders are finally super interested in this topic in particular?
I think, honestly, CX is where these builders are building their brand reputation and credibility with the end consumer. You can build a really high quality home, but if you have a poor customer experience, and that goes well beyond even possession, you know, you have to have a great customer experience from long before someone enters your sales funnel in order to attract them into your sales funnel. And then once they become a buyer, the goal is to turn them into an evangelist. The goal is to turn them into an ambassador and a raving fan of that brand. And CX is the way to do that, is to go, you know, in the words of Disney, to go above and beyond to provide an incredible customer experience that people will talk about. And if you look at, you know, the best builders, a lot of their business is built on repeat and referral business. And so CX becomes the heartbeat of a lot of these great brands and great customers, companies that are focusing on, you know, an enhanced CX experience. It's a true market differentiator for any great builder.
Yeah. And I think so much about, because we talk a lot, and one of the topics I want to pick your brain a little bit more on is related to this, the used home market. One of the narratives has been that the reason why they have such a hard time with CX and brand period is that everyone's an independent contractor for the most part. And so you have very little ultimate control and over how that operates. And I wonder if that's part of the challenge that builders have, is there tends to be this, hey, if we're not good at it, we want to outsource it entirely, which even in the world of marketing, I would say that's a danger zone to go that direction too far. But now we have got people outsourcing sales, outsourcing marketing, obviously the construction itself. You've got all these individual subcontractors with their own, you know, way of doing things that you got to try to guide through. It seems like it's so I guess I want to, because last time we had such a good discussion about kind of the Shopify for real estate concept, I want to try to get some of that insight from you to everyone too. Here is, like, is it just the technological layer to this that can kind of smooth it out? Is it just like people finally understanding that this is hard and it's you're gonna have to work at it for a long time to get to where Disney is? What,
you know,
I'm not sure what I'm asking you, Jason. So good luck on answering this
no,
one.
No, I think
cleanly.
You know, I get what you're saying, and I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, the resale market is very fragmented, and customer experience is not a word or not words that you hear very often in the resale, you know, realtor agent experience.
It's just the individual agent saying, "Here's what I do for you." What Keller Williams or Remax or whoever, it's a giant company, certainly they're helping somehow, but it's more of like
what
they're
I
just talking
deliver.
About what they can deliver.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, the agent realtor world is very transactional in nature. The deals are done really quickly. You know, they're not, you know, in the new construction world, you know, a home takes anywhere between 5 to 18 months on the custom side to get built. You're building a relationship that takes time. You're building credibility. You're building trust. You're creating transparency between the customer and the seller, whereas oftentimes the transactional nature of the agent realtor market doesn't really allow for CX to take center stage. And so regardless of builder's choice as to completely outsource sales and marketing or otherwise, they still need to own their brand. They still need to own the brand experience. And they need to know that despite the fact that they may have licensed agents or realtors that are selling their homes, there still is an onus and an obligation on that builder to build that trust and transparency through a wonderful CX experience, which is the brand building the relationship with the buyer.
Yeah. And I think the last component to that, and then we'll move on to the other really fun topic that I'm sure you're excited to dive into, is at the end of the day, it's coming down to software connectedness. And for instance, I know you've got integrations with folks like Steve Ormonde over at Focus 360 to integrate only with Focus. But this whole concept of integrating, not like a little bit, but complete integrations, continues to be a big tripping point to where people want to go. And I just, like, warning shot to everyone in the industry, if you are not willing to be a platform that's open to integrate with others, I think that's like the biggest target on organizations' back right now, is because there, the amount of frustration is boiling to the point where, fine, then we'll either just go pick someone else, even though it's a painful switch. So much of the CX stuff, even conceptually, once we get around the egos and the what if scenarios and once we get down to, okay, this is exactly what we want to do, everyone's clear and on board, we're still hitting this, yeah, that software can't do that.
You know, we've been living this, you know, if I'm being vulnerable, we've been living this for 3 years, you know, when Only first began, you know, trying to be the Shopify for real estate, which began as a build and price tool, a successful build and price tool integration for a builder's website required an ERP integration. And I was foolish enough to believe that that was going to be easy, of which it was one of the most difficult, you know, mountains that we truthfully were never able to climb and conquer. ERPs are archaic systems that look like they were built in the 1980s or 90s in terms of their UI and UX
Most
and interfaces.
Most of them probably were.
and they were, but they don't allow third-party API integrations. It's almost the rule of thumb across the board, across all
and
the
even
major
worse
ERPs.
Is, I think, the ones who say, yes, we do, except for these 10 fields. You know, it's like, again, it's either all or it might as well be none for the most
That's
part.
Right. And it might as well be none. And that was the, you know, that was the wall that we came up against with every discussion. And when we were talking to, you know, major top 50 builders, they'd say, we love what you're doing, but it needs to have full API integration into our ERP. We would talk to the ERP and we would be stonewalled. I mean, it was You know, if they couldn't build it themselves, there was no way they were going to do it. And so I think it still will, to your point, it's still the biggest stumbling block for new technologies, new prop tech companies that are emerging, that if you can't pull the data, you can't ingest the data or push data into an ERP, it makes it very difficult to pull off an integration for a builder group.
Yep. Yep. All right. Hopefully that, that slight amount of public shaming just helps move things forward a little bit. That's what I hope in my heart of hearts. All right. Let's talk a little, you and I were in a session, and there were more than one session that kind of hit on this topic of what to do with realtors. And I don't recall, cause I wasn't taking notes on you. I was trying to take notes on the session at the, in the moment, but I remember you kind of whispering like, I wonder if we're going to talk at all about this, this, and this. And I thought, hey, you're here. Let's, what do you think the industry generally is not talking about when it comes to realtors? Actually, I think maybe what it was is, are we going to talk about how they do add value?
That's what we were going to, that's what I whispered to you in that session. And, you know, it, funny enough, it was an hour long session at IBS. It was on the last day. It was one of the final sessions. Actually, the room was quite full. But they kept talking about making sure that realtors and agents get paid, and to make sure they get paid and to respect them when they walk in with the customer, whether that be early in the deal or in the 11th hour. But the one thing that it really, it made my blood boil that they didn't talk about is what is the value that an agent or a realtor, like a buy side agent or a realtor, brings to the equation. And I wanted to have that conversation. What is the value? You know, at the start of our call today, we talked about, you know, agents, realtors, very much transactional in nature. They don't really care about the community. They don't care about the brand. They don't know much about the building process. There's a lot of the equation that they're not necessarily concerned about. And I understand it. I respect it. They have a multitude of customers that they're representing, and they're looking for a variety of homes. It may not necessarily be a new construction home in your particular community. They're looking at all options on the table, and being transactional in nature, they're looking at how they can make money sooner. So, you know, a new construction home with a possession window 9 months down the road is not as appealing as a spec inventory home that's available in 45 days from now.
Right. And it's not that it's not just appealing for the real estate agent. It's probably not appealing for most consumers. I just saw this from someone somewhere watching content over the weekend. So I'm going to roughly estimate, roughly like 60 to 70% of all real estate purchases are done with either a severe limitation on timeframe or a moderate limitation on timeframe. And so that's I think one of the big things, if we're going to have better conversations about realtors in general, like even when they opened up for questions, none of the questions were even headed in any remote direction as to what you were, they were all like, can we pay realtors less? When is this lawsuit stuff going to let us pay them less? Which, I mean, again, I understand to some degree, but to me, the biggest thing we have to start with is saying the agents who do, you know, 8 homes or less a year, just wipe it away. And I already hear people saying, yeah, but that's what most of the realtors who do business with me are only doing, a small number of homes a year. And so
the majority of the market,
I can't really focus on just the big players, but that is the thing that the lawsuits and their likely fallout will address, is that it's not going to be a great side hustle anymore if this changes on the buy side. So that does mean we're going to be working with, and we're going to be working with professionals in every sense of the word, because the only people left, I think, are going to be professionals. And so
professionals
to your point,
that are doing it as a full-time career.
A full-time career, who are knowledgeable about the market, who probably do understand some aspects of new construction, who definitely care about the community and the neighborhood. But too often we get sucked into this conversation about the folks who do a minimal number of transactions, and it's all basically some form of, and again, I say this in jest mostly, multi-level marketing. It's like friends and family. They're working with friends and family within that close network. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just a different type of individual that the home builder is going to interact with. So in that sense, what do you think the realtors do add in value? from your perspective, especially in Canada, is a different.
Very different.
I mean, it's different. So let's just make sure we put that out.
Yeah, it is very different. I mean, we're blessed that, you know, we have customers that only on both sides of the border. But, you know, I would say that I think realtors bring a ton of value to the equation. You know, there was a stat, I can't remember what the number was, Kevin, that was in that session that we were both attending about consumers' trust for realtors versus consumers' trust for new home sales teams. You remember what the number was?
Yeah. So Barbara, you've been getting Barbara Ray and the folks at Wick Marketing have been getting a ton of play off this because it's so important. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but I want to say it was in the low 20s of the population trusted home builders, and something in the mid 40s to 60s even were, and I should know the number because it was referenced so often, but basically at least double the amount of people trust a real estate professional than trust a home builder.
Yeah. So number one, what that tells me is, and again, it goes, I hear Alan Klassen's voice in my brain. That's a CX problem, you know, a customer experience problem. You know, repeat and referral business comes from providing a really incredible CX experience to your prospective home buyers. That's number one. Yep. And so that can be resolved and fixed that way. You know, I think that realtors bring great value to people that are relocating, that are moving to a new city from somewhere else. Maybe it's another country, another state, another city. I think there's great value that a realtor brings to the equation. I'm talking in the context, of course, of new construction specifically. In resale, mm-hmm. I think their value is very clear and very transparent. In new construction, I don't feel, other than the case of a relocation or someone moving to the city that is not familiar with the area, you know, I don't see the value in new construction beyond a relocation, to be honest with you. Even in the case of a friend or a family member that happens to be, you know, a realtor and they want to work with them, I don't see it. I mean, I look at the percentage, the amount of money that an agent or realtor is getting paid on a new construction deal. On average, I think in the country, it's probably somewhere around the range of 2.5 to 3%. You know, I feel like in certain states, that number is really high. In other states, it's a lot lower. In some places, it's a fixed fee. But nevertheless, the number's high. You know, with an average selling price of a single family detached home in the U.S. is around or just above $500,000 in the United States and just under $500,000 in Canada. You take 3% of that and pay it to an agent. And, you know, let's just say it's a $500,000 home. So it's about a $20,000 fee, give or take. Did they put in $20,000 of work in that deal? And I find it very difficult to say yes.
And I'm going to sidestep that because I have friends. I'm just kidding. But if we do the math on this trust calculation, which would be, you know, again, sorry, Barbara and the folks at WIC that I don't have the number off the top of my head. If we do the math and say that conceptually, part of the reason we have to pay real estate agents what we do in the new construction side is because of that lack of trust. And they're feeling that they must have a person represent them that they trust more than us. I think what's really interesting is what if your home building organization could be at 80% trust,
right,
on that survey. And I agree with you, it's a CX problem. But I think the easiest part of this to address would be a builder to say something like, we have a 3-year bumper to bumper warranty and a 5-year warranty on mechanicals and paint and drywall. Now there's people who are going to freak out when I say that, but what if as a builder, you said, if you want the 5-year warranty on paint and drywall, then you have to use flat paint. So you can touch-ups are easier. And you have something about, my point is there's a lot of things that are really small that are going to likely happen over a 5-year period. And the biggest headache to homeowners is, oh my gosh, yeah, they fixed that thing that broke that probably shouldn't have broke, but it did. And now I've got this nasty drywall patch and I've got to go figure out how to paint it myself or get a paint. Like, how much does that really cost? I don't think it costs 3%. More. In fact, I know there's organizations where you can just pay to outsource that entirely. Not saying that would be, again, we talked about that's insourcing more than outsourcing,
right?
But heck, if there was a way to increase trust post close, in particular, and that became known, I don't think you'd have to pay the same amount as you would.
And I would agree, and I think, it wouldn't take all that much to put together those post-possession warranty programs that go above and beyond, to provide that level of comfort and trust, and safety and security. But I agree with you. I mean, the 2.5-3%, for the amount, I look at it based on the amount of work that they do. So, you look at the amount of work required for an agent or realtor to bring a customer to a show home and the work that they have to do to get that deal closed, no builder would disagree with you that 95% of the work is being done by the builder's team, by their operations team, by their sales team, by their customer success teams. And I look at that check that they write on every single deal, or in some places, the number's as low as 40% where there's a co-broke. In other cases, it's up to 80 and 90% of the deals are a co-broke. But $20,000 to $30,000 in commission for what? Like, where is the value? How hard are you working? How many man hours are you putting in to actually be able to say that I earned that $20,000 or $30,000? And the numbers don't add up to me. They just purely don't add up. And I understand in some markets, it's just the way it is. And we get told that a lot. Hey, it is the way it is here. And I think there's a time and a place where a realtor and agent does add value. But I think in many cases, the builder, to your point, can improve the customer experience before the contract signs, but also following the contract being signed to increase that level of trust and confidence with consumers saying, you know what, I feel comfortable in buying directly from you.
I just wanted to look at one other thing, which is I think the real estate agent's approach to do exactly what you're talking about from their perspective on the CX side. It's this company called, I think Rayse is how you raise RAYSE. And I don't think you and I would necessarily agree with the calculations that are being made here. For example, it says in the escrow section, it's going to take on average 35 days. There's going to be 8 different milestones and 36 different agent activities. So they're trying to say, here's why we're worth all this because of all the work we're doing. You and I might say, seems like we're rounding up on a little bit of that work amount. Does it take 4 hours to review a disclosure package on a particular home and run comps?
No way.
I mean, most agents that I know use different tools to get comps created kind of for them. So I don't, but at least this is exactly to your point. It's their attempt at using CX to say, we're worth every penny. Whereas builders are like, trust us, they're not. Just no, we're not really as an industry doing our part.
No, I don't think so. I mean, and I think it's very difficult to justify and to try and blanket answer that this is the time and effort that we put in to review on every single deal. Because, I've been in this industry for 23 years serving home builders. And in that time, working with many realtors and agents along the way. But nevertheless, in the new construction world, it cannot be argued that 95 plus percent of the heavy lifting that's required in order to bring that deal to close is done by the builders' sales teams and their staff. There's no doubt about it. A new construction sale for an agent or realtor is an easy sale. So that may be true. Like, I think a lot of those stats and facts and figures, they may be true in resale. And I could understand them to be true and necessary, all of those steps required, because there isn't someone else on the other side that's
Or
doing that.
even you just think about an existing home that's been remodeled 3 times and has all kinds of different disclosures. Whereas on the new construction home, it's like, yep, here it is. You don't,
Here it
it's not going to
is.
take you 4 hours. It's going to take you 20 minutes.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Yep, that
I
makes
mean,
sense.
I know this is such a sticky hot button topic, and it is incredibly timely with everything that's going on with NAR right now. And I often read the posts from Rob Hahn, notorious ROB, and he pulls no punches and speaks candidly, which I'm grateful for. But we're in the middle of an awakening. There's a huge paradigm shift that's taking place right now on the agent realtor side. And, we can sit back and wait for them to decide what they're going to decide. And that may be paying less commissions. There could be a whole bunch of different outcomes that come as a result of what's happening. But I think the builders need to take control of the situation and look at improving that customer experience to make customers feel more comfortable and increasing that trust and feeling more comfortable in buying directly from the builder themselves. Yep. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're not working with realtors and we're not working with agents. That's not the mandate. But I think decreasing that dependency on the agent for bringing deals in and putting more onus and responsibility on the sales teams.
Yeah, and I think to spin that the other way around, if nothing else, buyer's agents are going to have to become more efficient, and you creating that same process and tool to make them be able to sell new construction faster and easier to their clients, like to truly make that sale happen, is going to be a benefit to the real estate community as well.
Yeah, 100%. If they can, you know, show and prove value and add more value to the equation, then they'll be welcomed with open arms. But at present, I don't see it. In most cases,
right.
I just
don't.
Just
so everyone knows, all the hate mail goes to Jason Hart. No, I'm just kidding. let's move on. I told Jason, was like, do we need to talk about this? And I was like, yeah, we do, because here's the thing. Everyone has different viewpoints, different opinions. And the most important thing in our industry is to have more of these conversations in public. If there's anything I'm jealous about in other industries, is that more of these conversations happen in public. And in our case, it's kind of like all one-on-one side conversations for the most part. And so I just appreciate you even be willing to broach the topic. All right. Only. It's been a bit, I don't know. Has it been 2 years?
It's probably been 2 years.
Since you were on the podcast last time?
Yep. I would say we're just moving into our third year at Only. And the last time we talked, Shopify for real estate, we were a build and price tool. That's where we began.
Yep.
And I think I alluded to that at the beginning of the conversation. I think build and price, was never able to be truly successful because of a lack of ERP integrations. It just wasn't possible. So we continue down our roadmap with Only, and another year and a half and a couple $1 million later in investment, we came out with the product that we had dreamt of at the very beginning, which was online reservations and deposits for new construction,
which is awesome. But I think what's the kind of sad part is that a lot of people have moved on from this topic entirely. I don't know if you feel that way, but they're like, oh yeah, that was the thing everyone talked about a couple years ago, but do we need that still? And I think there's a lot of things wrong with that line of thinking, but I just talked about the product market fit that you've seen and kind of just dig in a little bit more into what Only does, the solution that it offers builders and developers today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I appreciate it. Today, what Only is really doing is still focused on our mission of creating trust and transparency between buyers and sellers. That's still the fundamental goal. The objective, the vision that we always had, that we are now realizing and seeing our customers truly benefit from on a daily basis. And I just put a post up on LinkedIn about this on Friday. I got a beautiful text message from the CEO of one of our customers. Now, I don't know, it's not the same in the US, but in Canada, in many regions, sales centers, presentation centers, show homes are closed on Fridays. Don't ask me why this happens, why they do this, but it's always been this way. And in that
show
time,
homes are model homes for the US listeners.
Yeah, show homes, model homes, they're closed on Fridays. And this CEO sent me a message that he had 5 deals that came in on Friday when no one was working.
That's awesome.
That was pretty remarkable. And we're seeing that happen every single day. Our focus right now is to create that trust and transparency, but empowering sales teams on the builder side to accept reservations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so the concept is every lead that comes into a model home or a show home is a potential buyer. And we know that most new construction sales teams spend a lot of time chasing prospective leads and buyers to try and get them back to the table. We also know that, buying a home is being the single largest purchase decision that people make in their lives. They don't walk into a model home and buy a home and walk out the door like they do bananas in the store. And so the goal, and our mandate at Only was to make that process easier to save sales teams from having to chase buyers to get them back. But for every lead that comes into their sales funnel, every person that walks into a model home or a show home, to give them, you know, the ability to be able to reserve that home at a time and a place of their choosing. And so some of the interesting stats that we're seeing in early days, we finished this piece of the platform only back in November. So it's only, you know, 4 or 5 months old at this point, is 86% of all users of Only are using our technology between the hours of 6 p.m. and 2 a.m. So what does that tell you? You know, it's not during the day at all, but
yeah,
you know,
it's also at a time. What's amazing is, you know, the tool has some, let's just say, I mean, you're talking about purchasing an expensive product. So logic hopefully hasn't gone completely, but one of the things that's really interesting about that fact is, I think it was a Wall Street Journal article that said, hey, if you buy anything after midnight, like, it's purely emotional. Like, it's a, it's, you're not necessarily making, I mean, and I'm not trying to say buying a home is going to be a non-wise decision, but that's when customers who are obsessed around an idea and playing with it are most, like, I think of anything that I've ever finally bought from Instagram or from an Instagram ad that I've been seeing for, like, you know, 3 months. And I'm like, oh, whatever. And then at some point I'm up past midnight and I'm like, yeah, what the heck, let's get it. Now, that's not going to be the same thing necessarily with a home, but
it's happening.
Why would you not want that ability to be available to consumers to do on their own?
To do that. And the purchase decision, and what we're learning from the data, and this is data that we're seeing from our actual customers that are using the technology and have truly embraced it. They've embraced it at the, you know, the executive level, but they more so have embraced it at the sales team level, in the communities, in the model homes, is that, you know, people may shop during the day, but they make the buying decision at night when the kids are in bed, the dishes are done, they're sitting on the couch with a glass of wine in their hand, and they pull out their phone and they're saying, you know what, are we ready? Should we do this? And they make that buying decision at 9, 10, 11 p.m. at night. And that's a fact. That's what we're seeing. The other piece that's been very interesting that we're seeing is that 89% of people that put a home in their shopping cart, in an Only shopping cart, end up closing in that home within 2 weeks. So that is something that becomes very, very special, is that the level of intent and seriousness that we're seeing for those that are choosing to reserve a home with a builder online 24/7, that their intent is real. This is not fictitious. It's not a shopper. They're putting down real money. And in many cases, the builder chooses the deposit amount, the earnest money deposit amount that they want to take. And in some places, like some of our customers in Georgia and Florida, they're doing $99 deposits. Interesting. But in most cases, the deposit amount is a little bit more meaningful and significant, where it's a $1,000 deposit that they're placing on that home. And, you know, those stats are real. Like, those are real stats and figures. The other piece, this goes back to the conversation we just had about realtors and agents, is we're seeing a decrease in co-brokes and buy-side agent commissions by an excess of 28% within the first 3 months. Meaning that by deploying an online reservation tool and technology, the consumers are feeling more comfortable, they're feeling more trust, they're being given transparency in terms of price and details of the home, they're feeling comfortable in buying directly from the builder. And so, you know, I look at the cost of Only, its amortized cost over the course of a year, one deal, one customer that chooses to buy directly from the builder pays for the cost of Only for an entire year. And that, you know, almost hitting 30% decrease in dependency on buy side agent deals is reason enough to consider it. And the reason why builders should do it, whether it's with Only or otherwise, is because you need to meet customers where they are and where they want to be. And consumers are making that decision at night on the couch in the comfort of their own home on their own device.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure there's sales training companies who would want to argue that point for various reasons. And one of the things they might say is that, you know, They've made a decision to purchase while interacting with that sales professional in a model home, but they don't, to your point, cement that necessarily, or they don't want to have to cement it just at that moment. I think one thing to highlight for those listening too is reservations have been around for a while now. I famously reserved half a street at one particular builder when they rolled out their tool because there was no verification, there was no credit card, there was no check. No one ever called me, blah, blah, blah. I mean, everyone's heard that story a lot of times. But I think that's what I really want to have you emphasize to people is the verification part. Because here's the thing, folks. Everyone's saying, well, I don't have the problem of my stuff selling out or not being able to meet with customers as much as I did during the pandemic era. But do you know how close we were this spring to you really needing to be able to do that again? Imagine if rates had dropped as originally predicted. Imagine
And they
if the interest
will.
rate, yeah,
They will.
and at some point they likely will
Coming.
now, but let's just say that rates went to 5% tomorrow or 4.5%. You would instantly not just need a way to reserve online, which there's lots of ways you could just say this one's taken. I mean, heck, you could use a Google form, which people did when that first happened. They tried
They did.
all sorts of stuff. To me, it's the verification of when suddenly this does become an issue of supply being lower and demand being higher, you're going to immediately want to know about verification. So I think talk to a little bit about verification, and then I also want to kind of loop that into, I guess we're going to try to make everyone mad at us, realtors, on-site salespeople, and mortgage folks. But I think the other important part besides verification is just saying anything that will allow the on-site sales rep, or whoever it is that's interacting with that consumer to say green light, go, without having to sit down and do a full conversation with a mortgage professional is a good thing.
It is a good thing. And, I want to say, the builders that we have on our platform today, their frontline sales teams in the community are raving fans of Only. They're the biggest advocates that we have because it really
That's it.
is.
I think this gives them more control,
It
which
does. And
salesperson doesn't want more control.
it's a
Control and
sales
insight.
enablement tool. If you have a model home and a sales team sees 20 visitors that come in through that model home over the course of the weekend, if every person walks out with a reservation link to the home that they're interested in, they now have 20 deals that are floating out in the ether that could close at any given time. And no other builder that they're working with has given them the ability to be able to do that. That's a massive market differentiator for that community sales team. So, verifications, to your question of verifications, and we don't showcase it. It's part of the process. We own three international and US patents on our technology on buyer verification, and we're quite proud of it. But what happens is in the online reservation, and this is the builder's one objection is, well, how do we know they're serious? How do we know that that reservation isn't from one of my competitors trying to tie up one of my homes or tie up one of the lots available in the community? And so what happens is when a consumer takes that home, puts it in their proverbial shopping cart, and they, before they sign that reservation, they have to go through a buyer verification. So it goes through a two-factor identity verification, and then they go through a financial verification as well. And so that entire process takes less than 2.5 minutes for the consumer to complete. And it's no different than the technology you would see at Home Depot if you're going to get financing to build that, that back fence in your yard. It's the exact same technology, Apple Play, Google Pay, it's the same technology. And in the case of the verification in Only, prior to the consumer being able to actually sign the reservation agreement through DocuSign, they have to validate their identity with the two-factor identity verification. And then they have the ability to either upload a pre-approval if the builder demands it, or they can complete a mortgage pre-approval within the platform. And that mortgage pre-approval can be of the builder's choosing. So if they have a JV partnership with a mortgage company with a different lender, that lender can be embedded. So any lender can white label that part of the process where they can do a mortgage pre-approval and the consumer can even add a co-buyer. So in most cases, when people are buying a home in the US and or Canada, they're adding a co-buyer. And so adding a co-buyer to the verification process actually increases the buying power of the consumer. So at the end of the day, once they complete the buyer verification, it allows the customer, it unlocks their ability to place that reservation and deposit. And then at the end, you know, the builder then gets a deal, a notification in their CRM or in their inbox, and notifies them that you have a new reservation. And they have such increased certainty that this deal is going to close. They know the quality of the customer that has placed that reservation. They know it's a real deal.
Yeah, I can't stress how important this concept is, not in terms of why would you take, like, again, consider community launches and you've got your best five home sites. Letting those be reserved without verification, and not just verification that they're a human being, but verification that they have something in the realm of the funds available to make a purchase of this type, is incredibly important. And especially I get a lot of notes of like, who are you talking to? But I'm just telling you, the majority of builders made this shift during the pandemic of saying, require them to go to mortgage first.
Yes.
Salesperson can't write until mortgage meets with them. That's insane. And that's not how it ever was done.
No.
For the majority of my 20 plus years in the business and any builder I worked at, it was you write them contingent to, you write them just flat out and take a cancel if you must. But anything to slow the sale down. I think that's why salespeople love you so much is, okay, if you have to walk the customer through this over 2.5 minutes, but then you can just go ahead and get the deal done right then. Or to your point, say, hey, now you have all the information you need, go home. But just so you know, someone else can reserve this too. Like, they can do this without us. So that now it's like, imagine, I don't know why this never hit me before, Jason, but a lot of the consumer psyche around real estate is, we have to make a decision by, think about this on the used home side. Well, offers are due by X, so we better make our highest and best. There's these very clear timeframes that make you feel like you have until then to make a decision. Mm-hmm. So if the sales office is closed, then the customer can say to themselves, well, you know, we can at least just talk this through overnight because no one else can take it from us anyway. I mean, the office is closed.
That's right.
That alone, I think, is a big win.
Yeah, it's a big one. And, you know, the thing that we're seeing, the sales teams love it, and why they really love it is because it changes the dynamic of the relationship. All of a sudden, you go from creating a selling atmosphere to creating a true buying atmosphere, removing the pressure, removing the high pressure sales environment. And the sales teams that are using only, and they're our biggest advocates, they give out those reservation links to the home that the customer is interested in. They say, look, I know you need time to think about it. I know you need time to discuss it with your family. Take all the time you need. Here's the reservation link. And when you're ready, please proceed at your, you know, at a time that's convenient for you. And that feeling builds such an incremental, huge amount of trust between the buyer and the seller almost instantaneously, and it takes the pressure off. And yeah, that's why we're seeing the success that we're seeing with this, with our Reserve Now and buyer verification products.
I love it. I love it. What else do builders need to know? Anything we haven't covered about the...
You know, I think, you know, it's what we've been talking about this whole time. I'm glad we've talked about it. I don't really want any hate mail. You know, I'm a friendly Canadian. I want to be friends with everyone.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's not supposed to be your MO at all.
No, not at all. But, you know, I think, you know, the importance of creating that trust and transparency with customers is more important than ever before. We heard this in almost every session at IBS a couple of weeks ago, where the customer experience is everything. And, you know, if that stat that came from that company from WIC is true, that only, you know, 21% or 20 something percent of prospective home shoppers trust the salespeople, the builder sales teams, we have a responsibility and an onus to try and get that number up. And I don't think it's going to take us a decade to be able to do that. There's enough incredible tools and pieces of technology available to home builders today, like Only, but there's many others that can help, you know, immensely improve that customer experience and build that trust and transparency that consumers seek.
Awesome. All right, let's wrap up with just a quick explanation of how Only and Focus 360 have partnered up together. What is that? If someone's listening and they work with Focus 360 now, what is it that the integration there does? How does that work?
Yeah, so so Only has, we work very closely with Focus 360 and their their online interactive lot maps, and then their Next technology, which is really, really cool. It's not only online, but it's in model homes and show homes and presentation centers. And it gives consumers the ability to interact with those interactive lot availability maps, customizable floor plans that are all being done through Focus 360, and be able to reserve a home and get verified within that seamless experience, within the Focus 360 yep. experience that they're providing to their builder customers.
Again, it's another common theme that we've been talking about is integration. So it's not, hey, congratulations, you look through the renderings and the options and you've made a decision, now leave and go do this other thing, this other place. It's all kind of just integrated into a seamless experience.
Yeah, fully embedded. So they're shopping, they're choosing a lot, they can reserve that lot 24/7. If they're looking at a model and they're customizing the floor plan and the options and upgrades in that floor plan, and they make the decision, I want to reserve this home, they can now do so fully embedded within that Focus 360 builder experience. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Any other integrations on the horizon that you're working on or that you've already completed? I feel like U-Tour, we can...
Yeah, I mean, we've done some things with U-Tour in the past. I mean, we're working on a couple others. The big piece, you know, I would say on the buyer verification side is we're now agnostic. We can embed any mortgage lender into our platform. They're totally white-labeled into that part of the experience. We follow all of the RESPA rules. So, you know, we're giving the consumers options and choice when it comes to mortgage financing. I mean, but the fact that we can work with and embed any mortgage lender or broker into the platform is definitely a game changer and something that has been asked of us by some of the larger customers.
Jason, thanks so much for coming on again, giving us the update on what's new with Only. Excited to see builders take advantage of it. I'm still seeing just kind of a casual approach taken to letting people reserve things online without verifying the customer data. And I don't understand it. So thanks for addressing it for us.
Well, we're here and it's real, and appreciate the opportunity, Kev. Great to see you again.
You bet.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Market Proof Marketing. Can't wait for the next one? Or looking to connect with other new home marketers? Become a member of our private community, DYC All Access, which is 100% free and always will be. Get exclusive content not shared anywhere else, access to private events, and the ability to join a marketing impact group with other marketers like you around the country. Visit our link in the show notes or members.doyouconvert.com to join. All opinions expressed by me, Andrew Peek, Jackie Lipinski, and our castmates are solely our own opinions. Now get to work and make sure your company is market-proof.